Hello, debaters, and welcome to the Topic Talk.
Happy holidays, friends. Welcome back to the One Clap Speech and Debate Podcast, your podcast home base for coaching, learning, and inspirational resources for speech and debate competitors and coaches. I'm your host, Lyle Wiley, high school English teacher and speech and debate coach in Thermopolis, Wyoming. And I hope everyone's having a good holiday. I've spent a little time off to drink a bunch of coffee and walk my dog while listening to K-pop and spend a bunch of quality time with my family and watch a lot of Nicolas Cage movies, so no complaints here. I'm back to share more cool content from Adrian Graham on the podcast. Adrian has been creating some awesome debate videos on YouTube since Camp One Clap, and his series, The ABCs of Debate, has won lots of awards, at least in my heart, anyway. And he's released two super fun videos about the current policy topic under the name Professor Graham and sometimes Kevin. I'll link to his YouTube channel in the show notes and on the website, which you should totally check out. Here's a little bio for Adrian in case you missed it last episode. Adrian Graham is a junior at the University of Wyoming, where he is majoring in history. He's also a speech and debate coach at Laramie High School. And when he was in high school, Adrian attended Cheyenne East, where he competed in policy debate, winning many speaker awards and tournament championships, including the state championship. Here's a new and more honest bio for Adrian, compliments of ChatGPT. Adrian Graham, the brooding phantom of debates, haunts the discourse with a madness that chills the bravest hearts. His insatiable hunger for the souls of debaters manifests in a macabre dance as he devours the very essence of a spirited discussion, leaving behind a desolate landscape of shattered arguments and echoes of intellectual demise. Anyway, to review, here is the current policy topic. Resolved. The United States federal government should substantially increase fiscal redistribution in the United States by adopting a federal jobs guarantee, expanding Social Security, and/or providing a basic income. Today, Adrian is sharing his Topic Talk episode that focuses on the IRS disadvantage. So let's go.
Hello, debaters, and welcome to the Topic Talk.
On this episode, we'll be talking about the 2023 to 2024 policy debate topic of fiscal redistribution. The focus today will be on the IRS disadvantage. So without further ado, let's get into it. In this video, we'll be talking about what the disadvantage is, why it's the most unholy thing ever created, and finally, pretending like there's any hope for dealing with this on the affirmative. For those of you who are unaware, Brett Bricker is a debate coach who currently coaches at Kansas University. The legends tell of a man who, with the help of some others, crafted this year's topic from the ground up and created the affirmatives, DAs, counterplans, and resolutional bounds for the world that we live in today. But Bricker accidentally added an extra ingredient, fiscal redistribution. Thus, this year's topic was born. Not only would affirmatives have to defend a federal jobs guarantee, a basic income, or an expansion of Social Security, but they would now also be forced to defend a method of taxation to fund their redistributive projects. And therein lies the problem. Taxation. Empirically, on domestic topics, people like to create agency trade-off disadvantages that are usually pretty bad and fairly harmless. The water topic had the EPA DA, the criminal justice reform topic had the DOJ DA, and those were peaceful times when these trade-off disadvantages couldn't hurt a fly. But now, they're striking back. This year, the agency is the IRS, and it's going to be a vicious start to a season. Looking back at the monster Bricker had created, a horrendous topic with two parts, he picked up his tools and began forging away, crafting, molding an even more terrifying creation. He didn't invent the idea, its conception was inevitable, but he was a product of his time, and the time said it was time to strike. Let's talk about the IRS DA. The IRS, or Internal Revenue Service, is a U.S. government agency responsible for helping U.S. citizens do their taxes. It helps businesses, corporations, and everyday people just make sure that they're doing their fair share and sending sufficient funds to the government so they don't get put into prison. Yippee! They do all sorts of things, like process tax returns, send people to your front door to steal your money, or they'll even leave you on hold for 3 hours after calling them once a day, every day, for like 2 weeks to do your job as a law-abiding denizen of the land. Recently, however, thanks to the Biden administration, they have been given a fairly small loan of $80 billion. This $80 billion has the potential for a lot of uses, but the literature suggests that most of it will be going towards modernization efforts and major hiring initiatives to make the IRS actually be able to do its job, because right now, it isn't doing that, because it's terrible. That's actually a meaningfully important question, Kevin, and I'm glad you asked it. Currently, the IRS receives about $14 billion in funding annually, which is not enough for the agency to do much at all. The $80 billion is not actually an annual increase, so it's not like their funding has magically increased tenfold. That money is spread out over the next 10 years. So realistically, the IRS's funding has increased by about 50% annually, which is still a fairly magical increase, especially when it's going to these massive modernization efforts that'll actually allow the agency to do their job effectively. Beyond that, we know what nearly all of these modernization efforts are going towards: building a more capable workforce that's able to effectively enforce the Biden administration's Inflation Reduction Act. The bill has a million moving parts, but one of the most important provisions has to deal with solving climate change through government tax incentives, which the IRS would be tasked with implementing. These tax incentives are administered when the IRS audits people, and because of the Inflation Reduction Act, businesses, nonprofits, educational institutions, and local organizations can receive tax breaks by having projects related to the green transition. Those include renewable energy as it pertains to production or storage of things like electric vehicles. I think this is now an appropriate time to actually dive into the DA part of the episode and discuss what the actual problem is. Beginning first with the concept of the DA, because of the fabulous literature base, the most common version of the DA is probably going to be a climate scenario, so I'll be using that as our template. The DA argues that the IRS has just received an enormous boost to its overall funding, which allows it to finally have the funds to effectively modernize and expand its workforce to be able to deal with the new burden the Biden administration has put on their shoulders. The plan overburdens these modernization efforts by immediately demanding the agency implement a wealth tax, something that they have empirically struggled with. Without a cohesive and focused effort on modernizing and expanding its workforce, the IRS will be left trying to ineffectively audit businesses, not giving them proper tax breaks for pursuing green energy projects, and hindering the ability for the economy to go green. That hurts domestic green energy production, which means we can't solve climate change, and climate change outweighs the case. In a vacuum? Not the scariest argument. But let's investigate the problems here a little more closely. First, the story. The story is overwhelmingly neg-favored, unlike most DAs, which are forced and terrible. There are literally metric crap tons of cards that say the exact lines you're looking for. Very frequently, debaters will come up with quirky little phrases to help label and draw attention to arguments that they think are important. And guess what? All of these cards do that for you. This card says, verbatim, "You can't rush into anything, they are doing substantial strategic planning," and "You walk before you run." You know who cut and transcribed this card? Bricker. I would have committed so many crimes to get my hands on a card like this, and here it is, just straight up in my face, for free. The uniqueness is textually untouched by any AF card I've ever seen with my own two eyes. Second, the case turn argument. This isn't anything novel, as most trade-off DA scenarios usually include this. The argument is that the agency that is overseeing the plan would be stretched thin by their normal responsibilities, plus the new scenario the DA is talking about, and the mandates of the plan. But it's different this year, because I think it's quite likely that almost every topical AF will have to use the IRS because they have to tax. Again, you're welcome to thank the grand architect for this, because fiscal redistribution means that taxes have to be in place. The reason this is so strong, though, is because the IRS is directly responsible for the enforcement of the plan, meaning that any divergence away from the story the DA proposes spells disaster for the AF. If the affirmative is a wealth tax that saps money and funding from the $80 billion, then the IRS doesn't get to modernize and expand itself, leaving them incapable of even taxing the necessary people to enforce the plan. If the AF wants to try that, there's a few problems. First off, it's intrinsic. The affirmative is unable to advocate for a position that is essentially a delay counterplan. The affirmative is arbitrarily adding components to the plan to avoid a DA. That's unfair for negative teams because it always makes them a moving target. But even if you win that this argument you've advanced isn't intrinsic, you've just turned yourself into a delay counterplan, meaning any negative impact with any time frame warrant means you just auto-lose. So I don't really know if that's the route you want to go down either. Third, the DA solves the AF. This argument is the most evil thing a 2N or 1N could possibly say in the block. The status quo is a counterplan that solves the affirmative. If that didn't make sense, basically, the negative is telling the affirmative that if you just let the IRS do their thing, they'll accumulate enough resources from the wealth tax to be able to solve both the DA and have enough left over to do the AF. It's a question of sequencing, and if you jump into the affirmative too quickly, you disrupt the IRS's ability to modernize and do their job. But if you vote negative, you can still endorse the affirmative's advantages by allowing the IRS to focus on modernization first and the plan second. Thus, by endorsing the status quo, the judge is voting for an advocacy that claims to solve the affirmative and avoid a scary net benefit. Fourth, what's more messed up than a DA that's unbeatable? A DA that your opponents can kick and you still lose for it. Here's the scenario. Your opponent is bored winning on the IRS DA every round. They hunger for something different, some excitement in their life for once. So after the 2A fights for their life to put arguments against this monstrosity, the 2N says, concede the climate change doesn't cause extinction, we're not going for this DA, but the case takeouts still apply. The affirmative doesn't do anything because the IRS won't be able to do both its normal duties and the plan. That decks their solvency. In this scenario, the negative now has a ridiculously good solvency takeout that they get to partner with any of their other DAs or advantage counterplans to just smoke the AF on. It's a cruel and unjust world, and it's even worse if people haven't thought about these arguments deep enough either, because if the affirmative makes the slip up by defending that the IRS doesn't have enough resources now, or that the IRS sucks at their job, then those are somehow even more lethal takeouts to the affirmative. Fifth. And it's going to sound a little weird, but all the other DAs suck. The only reason this DA has been propelled to such high heights by myself is because a lot of the other core generics just aren't going to be as good. Like, yes, the econ DA and turn debates are going to be good in content, but like, the federalism DA? Always a snooze fest. Politics? Doubly a snooze fest. The inflation DA? If you make this argument, respectfully, you have already lost. No matter how good the IRS DA is on its own, I cannot stress it enough. It's just a really good generic that you should at least always have in your back pocket, if not sneak its way into a lot of your 1NCs. Those are just some surface-level tactics that you'll be able to deploy against the defenseless affirmatives on this topic that should result in you automatically winning the round, no strings attached. But I suppose, just for fairness sake, I should also probably talk about the AF, huh? As the affirmative, there are surprisingly some places to squeeze this DA out on. First off, the internal link. If you love having climate debates as much as I do, then this is the place for you to blow them out of the water, especially in the card battle, which you will be losing in almost every other part of the DA. After the Inflation Reduction Act passed, there was one guy who went online and was like, "Biden did a good thing. Good job, Biden. Now we might be able to solve some of our climate goals, maybe." Those are the cards the negative has. The other 8 billion people on planet Earth, however, wrote a couple articles each about how the IRA didn't even go remotely far enough, and that anyone saying that we were going to even be carbon neutral anytime soon are all joking. This is a technical debate and cannot stop at "the IRA didn't go far enough." You need to dig deeper into the meat of the warrants and explain why tax incentives for businesses to pursue green technology just isn't enough to do a full transition or to prevent climate change. They will sound really flashy when they say things like, "the US tech leadership and exports are enough to solve for climate change globally," but you need to prove to the judge that they don't even get to claim U.S. tech leadership because small tax incentives clearly aren't enough for a full transition. Second off, you must not make the mistakes that we talked about in the negative section. Disagreeing just to get points on the board is not the way you want to play with this DA. If you argue that the IRS sucks, then it's GG, because the IRS is your enforcement actor, which means your plan will also suck. That also means avoiding arguments that center around the IRS having less funding than the initial $80 billion. You will get baited into saying that the money isn't enough or that the agency sucks, but by admitting those things, you're just debating your AFS own solvency, so stick to the other side of the uniqueness debate. Uniqueness should overwhelm the link. If the IRS has 50% more annual funding than before, then surely they'll be able to undertake multiple projects. Those kinds of arguments are smart, and while I think that the negative will probably still just beat you on the card quality debate about what that $80 billion is going towards, this is at least a better place to hang your hat than in the other direction. Third off, try doing some sneaky link turns. You need arguments that prove you either don't increase the burden of the IRS, or that you make their life easier. There's a couple of thoughts here. You are going to lose this debate if you are a straight-up, hardcore wealth tax. I've filled 24 large landfills full of cards that say that the IRS is incapable of incorporating a wealth tax because the Bezoses and Musks of the world will bring hell on earth with an army of lawyers before they ever paid their fair share for a wealth tax. Empirically, the IRS just sucks at implementing these taxes because they didn't have the resources to do it. However, I think other, more narrow taxes will have an easier time in this debate, and there's also something to be said about the very simple tax schemes like drastically increasing proportional taxes that would probably not massively overburden the IRS. The real crown jewel here, though, is what I'm going to call the drawing blood argument. Here, you're defending that you don't need to beat the billionaires on day one. You just need to draw blood. The second the IRS makes a successful attempt at harvesting money from billionaires is the second that the federal government starts juicing the agency up again. Taking billions of dollars from billionaires goes against the conventional wisdom of my landfill's worth of cards, which don't assume a world in which the IRS is actually successful at enforcing the wealth tax for once in their lives. This is a decent argument, but I wouldn't rely on it. The negative articulation that comes after this argument, that the moment the IRS draws blood from billionaires is the second every billionaire actually starts trying to fight the IRS. They've been so effective throughout history at just repelling the government attempts to collect money and finding loopholes. Imagine if they actually started dedicating all of their resources to maintaining their wealth. Again, it's not the perfect negative defense either, so I do still think that the AFS strategy is pretty viable. Fourth off, you need to preempt some of the scary tricks the negative can do. just like reading Framework and the 2AC against the critique, or saying no federal follow-on against the state's counterplan, this DA also presents some mortifying shifts in the block. I don't hate the idea of preempting some of the arguments that we've already talked about on the negative side of things. The kicking the DA still turns the case because of a lack of resources argument probably loses to good uniqueness evidence that says that the IRS has more than enough resources to do the climate tax credits and other projects. The status quo can solve the affirmative argument should be preempted, hilariously enough, with inherency evidence, which talks about how the plan isn't being pursued now. Be careful, though. Those cards shouldn't say that the plan isn't happening now because it's unpopular. It should say that the plan isn't happening now because it doesn't have traction or support in Congress. Those are two distinctly different scenarios, because saying it's unpopular will automatically make the debate against any potential politics DAs just that much more difficult. All of this is hyperbole, just for me to drive home the point that you need to respect this DA.
Respect.
And be afraid of it. I don't actually think it's an auto win every time the negative reads it correctly, nor do I think it's unbeatable or that AFs don't have the tools to deal with it. But I do think it's worth considering just how powerful it is in its deployment, both for the negatives 1NC strategy as well as the necessary work that you have to do on the AF. If you're wondering what the single most read argument on the topic should be, we should all be flocking to this miracle of a DA. And that's all I've got to say about the IRS DA. Basically, it's like a free win button, but you gotta know how to use it. It's still super early in the season. Opinions may change, arguments may become refined, fire cards will be discovered, but the only thing that will stay the same is this video. So if you have any questions or things that you want to discuss, leave a comment or shoot me an email. I'm happy to talk about these things forever, and I'm sure that I've either missed something important or some major developments will happen later on down the line. But before we go, do you got anything to add, Kevin? I don't know. Can you?
Many thanks to Adrian for sharing more of his great content with One Clap and spending so much time working to make cool debate resources for our speech and debate community. Be sure to check out his YouTube channel, which we will link to in the show notes. This year, I don't know, maybe consider supporting One Clap Speech and Debate by checking out our Patreon page. This show isn't free, and it takes a lot of time to produce, so I always appreciate folks who offer support. You can partner with me on this journey for as little as $1 a month and stop patronage anytime. Special thanks to our patrons, Terry, Tina, Brenda, Aaron T., Melissa, Marcus, Laura, Londi, Ashley S., Joel, Matt, Alan, Ashley M., Aron, Izzy, and Rick. If you'd like to join the discussion here at One Clap Speech and Debate, shoot me an email at lyowiley@gmail.com. Or reach out on the One Clap Speech and Debate podcast website or social media that are also linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to One Clap Speech and Debate. Remember, your voice matters, and we'll catch you next time.